At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? Yeah, man, you can start rolling that beautiful bean food. Oh, you started rolling? Oh, man. Oh, shoot. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back up in here, man. Back in business. You see it? Got my co-host, Water, in my Milnor. Shout out to Afro Geeks for the... Ooh, got the all-white Gerald on. Y'all see it? Y'all see the all-white? Come on, get the all-white. The all-white's dropping soon. It's going to be kid sizes and the whole shebang, man. Get your kids squared away with the Gerald, man. I'm the one that's giving y'all the all white with the kids size option. Me, I'm the one that's drinking water every single day. Y'all better be drinking your water, man. Y'all better be out here drinking your water. You better be. And I don't want to hear no excuses. I don't want to hear, man. Every single day that you exist, I want y'all drinking plenty of water. Yes, Tiki is drinking water right here, right now. Shout out to my Patreon crew, my patron saints are in the building live. My producer extraordinaire, Sabrina Sith, is in here. We got Tanya, Cherie, Candace, Tiki, Afro Geeks, Tony Ann, Chloe, Unbound, Dario, Giselle, Simpson, J-Cat, Jalita, Latoya, King Panda, Moyo, Carmen, Kiyomi, you know what I'm saying, Lakia, Nakia, Sean, Veal, Crystal, Jerome, Slarita, The Math Wiz, Isaac, man, shout out to y'all, Terrence C., Nana P, Jamal B, man, and KB Damson, man. Appreciate y'all for pulling up, man. Glad y'all up in here. Rhea Akeem Kelly, come on now. In here. Michael Bickham, I see you in here. Yvonne, come on, man. We in there. I appreciate y'all for being here, man. Appreciate y'all for pulling up. Appreciate the support. My patron saints mean everything to me, man. And thank you for being a patron saint, for holding me down, man. The loyalty and consistency. I appreciate it, man. Drink that water, though. Drink that water, though. That should be the first thing you take in every morning, should be water. You're supposed to take in some room temp water when you start your day. You're supposed to do that. Do it. Room temp. Don't be scared of the room temp. You need the room temp. You can't be drinking ice cold water all the time. You gotta get some room temp water in there, Sabrina. You gotta get some room temp water in there. I'm not calling nobody out, but make sure you're getting plenty of room temp in there as well. You know what I'm saying? Room temp, this is science. Room temp is the ideal temperature for your water, for how you're supposed to take in your water. You know, so you're supposed to have a good amount of that. I know everybody wants it ice cold. You want that cold beverage, but they say room temp is ideal for health purposes, for your body processes. So get in plenty of room temp water. I know you get your cold water in, but get plenty of room temp in there as well. I'm not talking about hot sitting in the car temp. I'm talking about, like, you know, room temp. But we back, man. Daddy issues, man. We back again, man. Before I get on the road, I go to Austin, Texas this weekend, Friday. I'm going to hot-ass Austin, Texas, man. I was looking at the temperature in Austin, Texas. I was like, yo, man, don't be doing this like this, man. Come on, man. Let me tell y'all what I'm about to walk into. It's 90 degrees in Austin, Texas right now. Come Friday, it's going to be 93 degrees in Austin, Texas. Come Saturday, another 90 degree day, man. I said we back with daddy issues. My bad, y'all. I'm getting confused on the podcast. Do verbal cardio is where we at. I got too much going on. I got too much on my plate, man. My mind is everywhere. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll be fumbling sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But when you got a lot going on, sometimes you be fumbling out here. You be dropping the ball. You be saying the wrong stuff. Sometimes you get confused. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you in the wrong movie. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I thought this was, I thought I was in The Matrix, but this is actually Die Hard 4. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just get twisted up, man. I apologize, man. Excuse me, guys. It's going to be 93 degrees in Austin, Texas while I'm out there. So I might not do my little normal roam around, man. I don't know, man. And the humidity is high. You know, I don't know how high it's going to be Friday, Saturday, but it's 54% humidity today. And I'm like, man, humidity. Because humidity, you can't run from it. You can't run from the humidity, man. You can go up underneath that tree if you want to. You still going to be a hot, sweaty mess. Ain't no escape until you go inside. Like out here in Cali, if I get under the tree or something or a tarp or whatever, I'm like, refuge, sanctuary. But that humidity, man, that humidity going to stay on that ass. It's going to stay on your cheeks, your sweaty humidity cheeks. And then the mosquitoes going to be waiting. Mosquitoes going to be out there waiting. As soon as I leave the airport, mosquitoes going to be out there with the napkins tucked into their little shirt collar, ready to dine. And you know mosquitoes be getting around all your outfits. How do mosquitoes get through the socks? Mosquitoes get through the socks, man. They be like, oh, socks, easy work. I'm in there. They be tearing us apart, man. I'll be like, man, what kind of beaks do these mosquitoes have? They getting through the sock, and they know to get through the sock. You're like, man, the sock light work. Sometimes you'll have on socks. You'll have on some tights over the socks. They getting through all that. Your ankles is toe up, done. Your ankles look like Braille out here, man. You got chewed up in the ankles. Sometimes they just go for the ankles. They're like, yeah, tag his ankles up. And then, you know what I'm saying, I'm bald-headed. Because they can go straight to the top for me. They'd be like, yeah, man, give us that big-ass head. Yeah, meals. Mosquitoes are the worst insect on the planet, man. They are the worst insect on the planet. You know how many deaths they cause? They are the worst. If God came down here and was like, you got to get rid of something. You got to get rid of a species. I might pick mosquitoes, even though they are a major food source for a lot of, you know, predators. I might have to go with mosquitoes, man, because they just wreak havoc, man. People out here dying of malaria, I'll be like, man, I'm saving lives. But then How many species would suffer because ain't no mosquitoes to eat? I know dragonflies would be pissed. Dragonflies would be like, man, it ain't no food out here, man. I used to come to this little pond right here. I used to get it in. It was all you could eat buffet. Now it's just slim pickings out here, man. Damn it. Man, so I ain't looking forward to that heat in Austin. But I am looking forward to going to Austin. I'll be there. If you're a listener, I added a Thursday 10 p.m. show to the Atlanta joint. So August 26th, there's two shows on Thursday now. Get your Thursday 10 p.m. ticket, man. Get your tickets early, man, before you're out here left out in the cold. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back in Atlanta. Me, Sabrina, and Serene, we will be out in Atlanta August 26th through the 28th. We're going to be out there. We're going to be thriving, glistening, shining. shining and glistening, if you will, in Atlanta, Georgia, shout it. We gonna be out there. We gonna be out there. Then the weekend after that, I'm gonna be in Phoenix, Arizona, man. I'm gonna be out here, man. I'm gonna be out here in the community, Lord willing, COVID not tripping. You know what I'm saying? Shout it, man. Shout it, man. You know, you got a Waffle House in your city. If you got that Waffle House in your city, you got to throw shout in there, man. If you got the Waffle House in your city, man. Phoenix got a Waffle House. Phoenix got that Waffle House. You got to come in there, Waffle House. The Waffle House, man. And I'm going to the Waffle House. When I go to Phoenix, I'm going to that Waffle House and I'm going to Cracker Barrel. I'm going to both. I'm going to get bread drunk at Cracker Barrel. I'm going to be like, cue it up. And I'm going to be face down in Cracker Barrel. And people always say, Cracker Barrel look racist. It got a racist feel and vibe. Them pancakes are so good, I don't give a damn about the racism. Could be a burning cross in the front. I'm be like, yeah, but the pancakes, they use the burning cross for the crispy edges. Let me get those. That's how good the pancakes are, man. Food will always trump racism for me every time. I'd be like, man, shut your bigoted ass up, but pass me that plate. But I've never personally experienced any kind of racism at Cracker Barrel, ever. I've never felt like they're not taking care of me in Cracker Barrel. I've always had good service there. I've always had great like waiters and waitresses. They've always been like super dope. I don't have a bad experience at Cracker Barrel. And I've been to Cracker Barrel a lot because when I lived in Las Cruces, New Mexico, they had Cracker Barrel there. So I used to go, you know what I'm saying? That's how I got affiliated with the crispy edges, the bomb breakfast, the biscuits, the good biscuits, them good biscuits. When biscuits are good, I throw an L in there, biscuits. Like if it's a good biscuit, I just throw an L in there just because. Throw an extra letter in there. If anything is good to you, throw an extra letter on it just to show it respect. Biscuits. So it's biscuits at a Cracker Barrel. Popeye's chicken, biscuits. Those are biscuits. All right. But yeah, Cracker Barrel just has a great breakfast. The dinner, you know, I don't really ride for the dinner at Cracker Barrel. Not that it's bad. I usually don't get the dinner. I'm usually straight breakfast. But since I've been, you know, vegetarian, I don't go as much to Cracker Barrel. Like, you know, we'd be out on the road. I'd be trying to avoid Cracker Barrel. But when I do go now, you know, I got to change up my order because I used to get the pancakes, the eggs, and the turkey sausage. So now, you know, when I go there, I'm not getting the eggs, I'm not getting the sausage. So now I'm just in there like, you know, last time we went, I think I just got the oatmeal and biscuits. I just got oatmeal and biscuits. But now next time I go, I'm probably getting pancakes. Pancakes with a side of biscuits. This is all bread, man. I'm coming out of there fat. Coming out of there in a cement wheelbarrow, man. I'm just coming out of there swollen. Anyway, man. The biscuits. Biscuits. Throw that L in there, man. Biscuits. Yeah, yo, Patron Saints, ask me a question real quick. Ask me a question real quick right before we go to the trending topics, man. Ask me a question, man. You know what I'm saying? Real quick. You know what I'm saying? Whoever get in there first. Make sure you put the exclamation. Oh, there we go. Do you have, Tony Ann says, do you have any movies you didn't like at first but later grew on you? Movies I didn't like at first, but they grew on me. The first Mission Impossible, I didn't like it initially when I saw it in theaters. But then when I watched it again and again, I was like, yo, this movie's solid, man. A lot of twists, a lot of turns. Because it was a little bit too complicated for me the first time I watched it. So I didn't really piece together everything. But then when I rewatched it, I was like, yo, this is good. Same with Memento. It took me a few times to watch Memento to really be like, yo, this movie's dope. But initially, I was just like, man, what the hell is going on? So Memento grew on me. The first Mission Impossible, What else grew on me? Anything else? But those two spring to mind immediately. Jerome asks, action movie lead character Mount Rushmore. Okay. My Mount Rushmore of action movie. Wait, characters or actors, Jerome? We talking action movie characters or actors? Let me get this question real quick. On the Mount Rushmore tip. Tippy Longstocking, you know what I'm saying? Characters. Okay, all right, so John McClane from Die Hard is on the Mount Rushmore. I gotta put Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator on Mount Rushmore, whether it be the first Terminator, the second Terminator, his character in Terminator, gotta put that up there. So we got John McClane, we got the Terminator. I kind of want to put Rambo on there, but hold on a second. Let me dig deeper. I'm gonna put Riggs and Murtaugh, Riggs and Murtaugh into one face, and that'll be a face. So it'd be Riggs and Murtaugh together as one face to take up the third spot on the Mount Rushmore. And then I really like John Wick a lot. Shoot, Rambo, John Wick. Dang, man. John Wick is new, though. You know what I mean? But still, you know. But Rambo been putting in mad work, though. You know what I mean? From the first Blood, and then Rambo. And then Rambo 3 was whatever. And then he came back with Rambo again. And then the last Rambo, he was like Home Alone Rambo, getting the job done. Oh, there's my answer. Ripley from Aliens. Ripley, that's my answer. I don't know how I forgot to even think about that. Low key, I want to put Sarah Connor on there too, but Ripley from Aliens is she low key my number one pick. So yeah, that's what that is. That's what that is. Let me do another question. Best plot twist you've seen? Nana P asks, best plot twist I've seen. The best plot twist to me is The Sixth Sense. I think The Sixth Sense had the hardest, coldest plot twist in the game. That plot twist right there was amazing. Extremely well done. He's been chasing a plot twist like that ever since. That's how good and cold that plot twist was, man. That was the perfect plot twist. Nobody saw it come. I don't want to hear nothing about none of y'all talking about, well, I actually, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Don't give me that. Well, I kind of saw it coming, because if you think about it, nah, man. In the moment, the first time you saw the movie, no spoilers, nobody was leaking anything to you. You had no clue about that plot twist. I don't want to hear none of it. Because you know how people be always trying to act like they so smart. And I ain't saw it coming. No, you didn't. You didn't see a goddamn thing. Don't even try it, man. That plot twist was masterful. And you could hear the theater. When I was there, I saw it like opening weekend. I actually snuck into the movies to see it. Like I remember that night. We paid for the movie Mystery Men with Ben Stiller. We paid for that. I thought that was going to be the dopest movie of the weekend. Silly me. Paid for Mystery Men, okay? Came out of that, and we snuck into The Iron Giant. We snuck into The Iron Giant, so it was already on a little bit. So when we came in there, it was already on. And I was like, yo, man, this cartoon is real good. I was like, man, we should have paid for The Iron Giant. I was pissed. So The Iron Giant, I was like, yo, this is so dope. And The Iron Giant remains one of my favorite movies. And I was like, man, dog, this is what we should have paid for. I got to see Mystery Men again, but when I watched it, I don't remember it being too dope. So then after Iron Giant, we stroll into the Sixth Sense right on time. So we tripled it up. Strolled into the Sixth Sense right on time. I was just like, you know, I wasn't that pumped about the movie. It was just like, whatever, a little thriller about a kid that can see dead people. Okay, let's go in here. Went in there. It was a full house. And when they hit him with that plot twist, you can hear the, it was Gasp City in that theater. It was Gasp City. It was just like, what? Wow. And we were just all like, noses bleeding. We was in there just like, yo, what? Come on. No. Yo. And, you know, so that's the best plot twist to me. Was The Sixth Sense. Amazing plot twist. Still a dope film. Holds up. And a good plot twist always makes you go back and look at the film again. So that's the perfect example of a great plot twist. Shout out to M. Night Shyamalan for creating that. I don't care if every movie he ever does from henceforth is garbage. He can still relish the fact that he created one of the best plot twists that the cinema has ever seen. And his new movie, Old, is solid. His new movie, Old, kept me engaged the whole movie. Like, the whole movie, I was like, man, what's going on? Why is this happening right here? And so it was a solid movie, man. Like, Old was solid. It's definitely not down there with Lady in Water and The Happening. And, you know, it's one of his... the movie is solid trash. It's not trash. It's not trash, man. Trash people throw around trash too loosely. Y'all be littering too much, man. Too much littering. I like Unbreakable. Too much littering though, because y'all be like trash. For a movie to be labeled trash, you got to earn it. Yo, MTMTV just told me, just had the nerve to type this in the chat, that The Sandlot was trash. You know what? You're getting blocked. I'm unsubscribing you myself. This is ridiculous. You're not going to do this. You're not going to ruin people's lives today. You know what I'm saying? Talking about The Sandlot is trash. You trash. Okay? You trash. All right. So, trending topics right now. Everybody's talking about DaBaby right now. DaBaby. Blame it on Baby. They blaming it on you right now. Ain't they blaming it on Baby? Ain't that one of his albums? Blame it on DaBaby or something like that. Well, they blaming you right now. They blaming you right now, Playboy. They on your head. They on your ass. But I think he'll survive this. He'll survive this. The storm will blow over. He just on the grill right now. He on the grill. And when you say some dumb shit, you gotta be on that grill, man. You on that grill getting turned over, you know what I'm saying? Getting seasoned on each side, brown lightly on both sides, getting grilled up, man. And when you say dumb shit, you get thrown on the grill. That's just what it is. But he'll be all right. This will blow over. He just got to feel the heat right now, lose out on some money, lose out on some festivals. You know what I'm saying? People ain't gonna accept your apology. They're going to be like, man, when he came with his own apology from his own mouth that was kind of like a defiant apology, people was like, man, he ain't sorry, man. Look at the ignorance. And then when he came with the human resources PR team apology, the grown man apology, that the PR team, you know, definitely was like, all right, say this. People were still like, nah, man, we ain't buying it. That's how it always is with celebrities, man. Nobody ever believes the apology. Nobody is, nah, man, nah. You can't make mistakes. You a celebrity. You can't make mistakes out here. You can't say the wrong shit at any point in time. You got to be perfect at all times. How many of us have said things that we regretted? How many of us have said things out of ignorance? How many of us have said things that, you know, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe you thought you were right in the moment. This is what I believe. This is who I am. This is what I want to say. And then you learn, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't. I never thought about it like that. Well, I didn't look at it like that. Oh, I didn't say it how I meant it. We've all been there. We've all been in that position. If you feel like you haven't been in that position, you're lying to yourself. There's no way you undefeated out here on that front by saying some dumb shit, about saying something that, you know, you didn't mean, or, you know, you weren't educated on, or you meant it, but, you know, you realized the error of what you said. We gotta give celebrities that same grace. But we don't, because, you know, they're rich, they're popular, you know, they got a platform, they got impressionable listeners. So we're less forgiving to those individuals just because they are celebrities. We like, nah, man, you got to be perfect at all time. Everything you say, you can't have a change of heart. You can't have a change of mentality out here because you're a celebrity, and what you said, this is who you really are. And these are people we don't know personally, so it's just like, nah, man, nah. Remember you had said, you know what I mean? And so the baby finds himself in a situation like this. But I think it'll blow over. And depending on his actions going down the road, you know, getting on the road, getting back on the road, and, you know, putting out content, and, you know, people will be watching, you know, what he says in the future, how he moves, and stuff like that. You know, the baby went on stage and said misinformed things about AIDS and attached it to being gay. Now, you know, the gay community has long had to deal with the stigma of AIDS for a long time. Since AIDS hit the scene, the gay community has borne the brunt of the AIDS epidemic. You know, when it came in, people used to refer to it as the gay disease in the early 80s. They was just like, yeah, you know, that's what it was. It was just like, yeah, you know, you gay, you got it. You know what I mean? And that's tough on a community. You know what I mean? And so it was just like, hey, man. And then as HIV progressed and it kept going, then you have it, HIV rates are crazy in Africa now. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, it's not the gay disease, you know. So now it kind of morphed into like a black thing. Like, you know, the HIV rates in African Americans started growing, and, you know, it was just like, yo, man, what's going on here? Until you know, people still have that mindset, though, that, you know, it's a gay disease, because they say that AIDS can be, what's the word I'm looking for? You can get transmission. The transmission of AIDS is more potent during anal sex. You know what I mean? That I've read that, and, you know, different sources have stated that. So it's just like, oh, anal, okay, all right. Transmitted. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. And that's what I've read. I've read different things. Like, I've read, but I definitely read that for sure. And I've read that, you know, it's harder for men to transmit AIDS from women. I've read that as well. But it's easier for women to get it from men. Cause, you know, I used to pay attention to HIV tough, because it was like, man, that's something I could come across. So let me pay attention, let me read up on it, let me educate myself on HIV. Cause a lot of people don't like talking about it because, you know, they just scared, or they feel like it doesn't apply to them, or, you know, they just be like, nah, man, you know, man. I'm like, you ain't never been scared that you know, could come across, you know, HIV out there? Nah, you know, nah, man. I'll be strapping up. You know, the people I deal with, you know, they on them. People always think they're above it, or like, they think they're above it, or that they ain't at risk. And I'd be like, my mindset is, I'm always at risk. I'm always at risk. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, Kiyomi said, growing up in San Francisco, I had to learn all about it. After losing my sister to AIDS, that comment hit different. Which comment? The baby comment? Oh, okay, yeah. I can, you know, I totally get why people are offended by what the baby had to say. I totally get that. Like, you know, he was out of line. He was wrong. For sure he was wrong. You know what I mean? And people out here, you know, and you know what's funny? Like, you know, unless you know people personally that have HIV and AIDS and have dealt with it, dealing with it, living with it, have died from it. If you don't know people that are actually dealing with it, you feel disconnected from the whole thing. But you got to remember, man, you know, there are millions of people on this planet living with HIV, you know, living with AIDS, dealing with it. Gay people, straight people, whatever, however way you want to slice it, children that have never even had sex but were born with it. This is a reality. And like, you know, when you say stuff like that, you know, you could trigger millions of people. So you gotta be careful about that, because there's people out here really, like, you know, dealing with that and living with it. And you just got to be more compassionate and, like, you know, watch what you say. For sure. You know what I mean? And like, so shout out to, you know, anybody that's listening or, you know, is a fan of mine that is living with HIV, AIDS, or, you know, you've lost a loved one. I get it. I get it, man. We just got to be more educated, more compassionate, more thoughtful of the things we say and the things we put out there and the way we say it. And, you know, educate yourself. Everybody in here, everybody out here should be educated on HIV. You got no excuse. Like, if you out here living your life, if you out here doing heroin, doing drugs, you know, having sex with people, you're out here dating, you in the dating game, you should be, everybody should be educated on HIV. You should be thinking about it. You should have it in your brain. You should have it in your mindset. You partying, you getting it in. Yeah, we might hook up tonight. You know what I'm saying? One night stand city. You out here on Tinder. You out here on Bumble and just hooking up, you know, just having a good time. Quickie, you know, somebody you just met, you smashing. It should be in the back of your mind at all times. It should be something you thought about. If you smash, if you did something, then you know you got to go get the checkup. You got to go get the checkup. You got to get, hey, man, it's a wild night. You know what I mean? I don't see how you could be so arrogant as to say, nah, man, nah. Couldn't be me. Couldn't be them. They looked fine. You know what I mean? You got to be smarter than that. And, you know, I've been there. I've been reckless. You know, I'm not taking myself out of the equation. You know, smash raw. And then I'm like, man, but I'm not going to sit here in front like I wasn't terrified after the fact. I'm not going to sit here and act like I was arrogant after the fact of, like, I could never catch something. I thought I've had everything under the sun. Anything I learned about, I was like, yo, I got that. Oh, I got, I got that. Every time. I remember I learned Christopher Columbus had syphilis. I was like, oh, Christopher Columbus had, oh, I got it too, for sure. For sure I got syphilis, man. I'm out here with it right now. I'm looking at my skin. What's this? Everything I learned about. Everything. Chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, HPV. HPV then won. That's that one, man. Herpes is out here, but HPV, that's out here, tough out here. And when I learned about that, I was like, I definitely got it. Come on, man, you kidding me? HPV, oh yeah, I got that. Every time, man, every time. I didn't really think like that when it came to COVID, but all them STDs and all of, I remember this kid had ringworm in my class. I was like, he in my classroom. I'm getting that ringworm. It's coming in hot. FedEx right to me. I was just looking at my arms and face waiting on the ringworm to come in. I'm like, man, I know. Did you dap him up? Did you sit next to him? Nah, I was several desks away from that kid. I was shook, man. I remember I learned about tapeworms and you know, all those kind of worms like that, hookworms. And I was like, yo, man, I got these worms. You know, say, I'll be hungry, man. I got to have a tapeworm. This is who hypochondriac McGee is me. I have it all. You know, so that's what it is, man. So hookworms, those are worms you get on your feet or whatever. Come in through the feet. And then they talk about the trichina worm or whatever that you get from eating pork. I was like, oh, yeah, I had the pork chops, the pepperoni. I got it, man. I got them worms, man. And low-key, I went to this specialist doctor, whatever you want to call him, and he looked in my eyes. He does a little – he gives you, like, a diagnosis through images of your eyes. So, you know, he hooks the camera up, and he's looking at my eyeballs. He's like, yo, your sodium's high, this, that, and the third. He could tell all this from the eyeballs. I don't know how legit he was. But he said I had parasites. He told me I had parasites going on. Now, mind you, when I go to the doctor, I'll be listening. I am humble McGee when it comes to medical things involving me. You know, some people go to the doctor, they go in there arrogant and defiant to the doctor's office. They go in there, I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm doing. No, I'll be doing this, that, and the third. Defiant, in denial. A lot of times, they're not straight up with the doc. They just be, you know, skimming off the top and telling half-truths and, you know, holding information back. I'm an open book. Yeah, I'll be doing this. I'll be doing that. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me, man. What I got? What's going on? Give me the real. Give me the real. Now, when doctors can't help me or they say certain things, you know, I'm all for the second opinion, you know. But I'm there taking it in because I'm like, yo, this is a professional. You know, this is what they do. So I'm in there mad humble. And he was like, yeah, parasites. And I was like, oh, I got parasites? Damn, man. And he didn't tell me specifically what kind of parasites I had, but he said I had them. And I was like, ah. So he gave me some herbs and stuff to take. It could have been just a hustle to buy his herbs. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Sabrina was convinced about the parasites. She was like, parasites? She was like, You know what I mean? But for me, I was like, maybe. Like, you know, I eat a lot of fruit. I eat a lot of fresh fruit. You know, I eat a lot of fresh fruit and, like, you know, fresh vegetables. So me having parasites sounded super realistic to me because of how I eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, There's plenty of parasites and microorganisms in the fruit that we eat and the food that we eat, especially when you're eating, like, fresh stuff. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'll be eating nectarines and plums and grapes and cherries, and I'll be going to town on fruit. So I was like, yeah, I could have some parasites in me, you know what I'm saying? I'll be, you know, stuff be falling on the ground. I'll pick it up quick and finish it, you know what I'm saying? This is who I am. You know, if it's past the expiration date a couple days, I still dabble in it, man. You know, I ain't no punk. All right? So I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, parasites. But I could have got hustled. I don't know. But I was surprised. Another trending topic right now is Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson and now Emily Blunt came out and sued. And Emma Stone came out and sued after Scarlett Johansson. They suing it up. And let me tell you something. Suing Disney, that's a scary move, man. Disney is out here buying up everybody. So that's a scary move. To sue Disney, the giant that is Disney? Balls of steel. Scarlett Johansson out here with a robust sack right now. She's suing Disney because Disney released Black Widow simultaneously in theaters and where you could buy it for $30 and watch it at home. So they did that simultaneous release. So, and they said they made about $60 million from just the people buying it at home, they grossed $60 million on Black Widow, right? Now, the movie came out, it did like $80 million at the box office opening weekend. They projected like 100, but it was like 80 million, which was the biggest opening since the pandemic. But it was kind of low for a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie of one of the main characters. So they were just like, So Scarlett Johansson is like, yo, the deal I had in place, she has a back-end deal, clearly. That means she gets paid depending on the box office performance. So I'm sure she got her flat fee, but she also gets a percentage of the box office performance. Now, she's suing because, you know, they made no mention of them releasing Black Widow for at-home streaming. So now she's losing out on potential money because the box office is going to be affected because people are watching it at home, which wasn't in the initial deal. So she's saying that's a breach of contract. And to me, that's a valid suit. Because, I mean, like, if my pay is contingent on, you know, how it performs at the box office, and you come out with something that's going to hurt the box office potential other movie by letting people buy it at home, you're cutting it to my pockets, man. So that's a very valid suit, in my opinion. Because I think them releasing Black Widow where you could buy it at home and stream it, it hurt the box office total of Black Widow. You know, it's not going to make as much as it could have, especially 60. It made $60 million at home. You know, that could potentially be the 20, 30 million the movie needed to go over $100 million opening weekend. And so I feel her. And so Emma Stone and Cruella, they did the same release format. They released it in theaters, simultaneously releasing it in the at-home streaming. So that hurt Cruella's box office. So now Emma Stone is like, hey, man, breach of contract, y'all. What y'all doing? Now, Emily Blunt, I didn't really look into what she was suing for. Because I don't know if they released A Quiet Place on streaming at the same time they did in theaters. A Quiet Place did well at the box office, so I'm not sure. And I know she's not suing Disney for Jungle Cruise, because that just came out this past weekend to a number one spot. You know, it made $35 million this weekend. The Rock keeps winning, by the way. The Rock just keeps killing it. I friend in my chat just asked, are they just screwing the ladies over? I'm not sure if they're just screwing the ladies over or if it just happened to be, you know, female-led films getting released. Because if you think about it, like, the biggest movies that have come out since the pandemic has kind of let up. Kong versus Godzilla, Cruella, you know, Black Widow being the biggest, now Jungle Cruise, A Quiet Place 2. They just happen to have strong female leads. So I'm not sure if it's like a coincidence or, you know, if they're really just targeting the women. But I feel like it's just a coincidence in the timing of what's coming out and when. Because I don't think Disney would be that trash to be like, oh, since these are female actresses, let's give them the shade. I just think that, you know, it's the timing of it. You know what I mean? And I just feel like, you know, they pulled a okie doke. If they didn't say initially, and I know they didn't expect the pandemic. I know, you know, going in when they put the money up for Black Widow, $100 million movie, they didn't plan for, because, you know, they drew up these contracts with Scarlett Johansson before the pandemic. So nobody planned for this. So now, you know, Disney's like, yo, we got to scramble. And if Disney knew they were going to scramble and release it simultaneously, that's when you got to renegotiate the contract. That's when you got to come to Scarlett Johansson and be like, all right, so we're going to release this at home streaming and theater simultaneously. So we're going to modify your contract. And that's what they should have done. and come in and be like, so, you know, we're going to incorporate, you know, the streaming gross into your into the total gross of the movie itself. So that way, you know, you're taken care of on that end so you can get your money up. And shout out to these ladies doing it and getting their money, man. These women out here, well paid, out here getting the big money. You know what I'm saying? And Black Widow was cool. I like Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, by the way. I thought she delivered in the role. Like, you know, I appreciate her being in the franchise. And I liked her as Black Widow, as Natasha Romanoff. Yeah, y'all. Shoot, we about 45 minutes in. My movie talk was gonna be about Adam Sandler, but I think I'll say that for the next episode of Verbal Cardio, because we had a good flow in this one, man. We had a good flow on this Verbal Cardio, and that's what Verbal Cardio is. I'm talking movies 1 minute, I'm talking the baby 1 minute, I'm talking AIDS the next, I'm talking about water, we talking about all kind of stuff here at Verbal Cardio. My producer, Sabrina Sith, she's been getting together a fire lineup of guests that I'm going to have on the show. So we got some really good guests coming for you guys. So stay tuned. But we definitely getting schedules together and working that out. Somebody said, Slarita said the Chicago Bulls looking good. Wait, the Bulls got DeMar DeRozan? Yo, we got DeRozan? Yo, hold on, man. This is breaking news. Oh, snap. Okay. And we keeping LaVine? Oh. Hey, you know what? Things are looking up, man. Things are looking up. I see the Chicago Bulls. Because, all right, when we got Lonzo Ball, I've been paying attention to Lonzo Ball's output. Because ever since he came at Nas disrespectfully, I've been on his head. Wait, who coming to the Knicks? All right, ever since Lonzo Ball was like, man, Nas, man, nah, man. Ain't anybody listening to Nas. I listen to that real hip-hop, like Future and Migos. Ever since he said that, I've been on his head in the group chat. I've been like, man, forget Lonzo Ball, man. Lonzo's ball. Forget him, man. Them expensive shoes. I was on his head the whole time, and Keon be sticking up for Lonzo Ball because he went to UCLA. That's Keon's team, UCLA, so he was sticking up for him. And I was like, man, shut up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nas, me and Nas been tight since the 90s, so I ain't going to tolerate no disrespect. And Keon was like, well, he's 19. What do you expect him? You expect him to like? I expect him to respect the OGs in hip-hop and not be like, man, Nas ain't hip-hop. This is hip-hop, Future Migo. And then to say Future first is hip-hop? Get your ass up out of here, man. So I was pissed. So with that being said, I was on his head. I was monitoring his performances in the games. I was like, oh, look at your boy out here. Lonzo Ball was hella inconsistent. Because, you know, I would throw in the group chat, oh, look at your boy right here. You know what I'm saying? And so we felt like, you know, he was overrated. So I was just on his head. And I was he was uneven in New Orleans too. And so I was just like, so I've been watching his, you know, performances out here. So I knew he was like hit and miss. So then when the Bulls announced that they got him, I was like, man, come on, man. I know he's had some improvements, but I'm still like on the fence because I know he can be inconsistent. And so I was just like, man, this. And so now he's on my team. So now I'm going to be super on Lonzo's ball because it affects my bottom line as a Bulls fan now. It affects me personally, emotionally, because I'm a Bulls fan, man. And so I'm like, all right, we got Lonzo Ball. We got Vucevic. We got Zach LaVine. So now we got DeRozan coming in. Are we losing? Are we losing Vucevic? Who did we lose to get DeRozan? That's what I want to know. Who did we lose to get DeRozan? Let me ask this in the group chat. Who did we lose? Let me ask that in the group chat. I want to see who we lost. They're talking about the Knicks over here. Hush about the Knicks in the chat, man. We're talking about the Bulls right now, man. Who did we lose to get DeRozan? Future first round pick. No, Lonzo plays for the Pelicans, not the Hornets. You think about his brother, LaMelo. Now, LaMelo Ball was balling, no pun intended. Talking about the Lakers. I see D. Rose. I don't see the Lakers. Y'all keep mentioning D. Rose. He's staying with the Lakers. Thaddeus Young. Okay. All right. Yo, I mean, shout out to the Chicago Bulls for making real moves out here. This is exciting news, man. Going out of verbal cardio on some exciting news. I'm excited, man. We got Zach LaVine, Vucevic, DeRozan, and Lonzo's Ball, man. Let's go, Chicago. So now, you know, I got to be nicer than Lonzo Ball, even though the Nas disrespect still be sitting in my soul. And shout out, Nas is dropping an album this Friday. Nas is dropping an album this Friday. I'm mad excited. Now I got an album to remind me of the trip to Austin because I like to get new music when I go to a city, so it reminds me of the city. And Nas is dropping King Disease 2 on Friday, and I'm all in. Produced by Hit Boy yet again. Let's go. Anyway, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in. Shout out to my patron saints over here in the Chatsworth. I appreciate y'all, man. Love y'all passionately in the showers. MTM asked me, if the Bulls never win a championship again, does that make Jordan even greater? Maybe. First of all, that question really hurt my heart. Like, you know, my stomach dropped when I said those words out loud. When it was like, if the Bulls never win a championship again, my stomach was like, you know, just the thought of that hurt my very soul fiber pieces. My algorithm was thrown off. But I think it would add to his legacy. The Michael Jordan, we got six championships with Michael Jordan. We got six championships with Michael Jordan. Arguably, we could have had eight had he not dipped off. There's a very real chance that we could have had eight championships had he not left. That's a very strong possibility. Man, it was epic, man. It was an epic time to be a Bulls fan. It was an epic. What a time to be alive. It was bliss as a Chicago fan. Bliss. Oh, Scottie Pippen. I love Scottie Pippen, man. Scottie Pippen is my favorite Bull. My favorite Bull, Scottie Pippen and D Rose. Those are my favorite Bulls, man. Love D Rose, man. I'm always rooting for D Rose. No matter what team he goes to, I'm always rooting for him. I'm like an ex that really cares about you. Even though we broke up, even though we're no longer together, I truly care about you and everything that you're doing, and I'm always rooting for you, and I'm always wishing the best for you. That's me with D. Rose. No matter where he go, I'll be like, man, you do the damn thing, man. I love you, man. That's me. That's me, man. Like, you know, I consider myself a good ex, and even in relationships, I consider myself a good ex. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting up here bitter about, you know, once we break up, you're dead to me. That's not me. I'm not that type of person. Like, you know, we shared a lot. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I like to think that even though you're no longer with a person, that, you know, you still care about them. I'm not talking about, you know, a super abusive relationship where, you know, it was just, I'm not talking about incredibly bad relationships. Because I know sometimes some people really need to be dead to you because of what they did to you. But for me, it never got that deep in any of my relationships. So it's just like, you know, I'm always, you know. You a good ex if you don't bother nobody later. I'm just like, you know, I care about the people I've been with. You know, you're a human being and I care about you. You know what I mean? So I care about Derrick Rose, man. We had a good thing. We had a good thing, man. You know what I'm saying? And I wish him the best. I wish him the best, man. I'm always rooting for him. If he would have came back to Chicago, and a lot of y'all be like, you're dead to me, you're dead to me. Slarita, I'm not surprised you leaning towards you're dead to me. Because you intense. You pretty extreme. And a lot of people are, especially on the female side. You're dead to me. You're dead to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to be thriving and glistening. Grudge City from a breakup. But anyway, wait, hold on. Let me respond. Anyway, shout out to my patron saints in here. Shout out to all the listeners out here. Share Verbal Cardio with your friends, man. We got to spread the word. We got to spread the word about Verbal Cardio. A lot of people sleeping on this podcast, man. We got to get the word out. We got to get the word out, man. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Shout out to my patron saints for being here live, chiming in with great questions, great energy, great conversation, great flow in the Chatsworth. In the comments section, what do I want to ask y'all? Do you think the baby will be all right after this? Do you think he'll be all right? And do you feel that we're super hard on celebrity apologies? Let me know in the comments section. And do you feel that Scarlett Johansson is in the right? Do you feel like she has a valid case in suing Disney for what's going on? Let me know in the comments section below. And have you ever been scared that you had an STD? Let me know. Have you ever worried about it? Have you ever been like, yo, stressed out about it? Let me know in the comment section below, man, because a lot of people be too scared to talk about it. We have to be comfortable in talking about things like this because they affect your day to day. Even if you think you're in a monogamous relationship, don't take your foot off the worry gas. Because in all reality, you could be getting cheated on. So always keep up with your health and regular checkups and all that stuff. And I appreciate y'all. Be good to people. Make sure you drinking water and staying hydrated, getting that good room temp in there as well. You know what I'm saying? I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another session of that Verbal Cardio. Boom. All right. Thank y'all in the Chatsworth.